As we've been reporting, North Korean leader Kim Jong-il died this weekend, apparently of a heart attack. That's according to the country's state-run media, although we can't be entirely sure of how he died, where he died, or, for that matter, when he was born. We turn now to Barbara Demick, author of Nothing to Envy: Ordinary Lives in North Korea. She was the Beijing bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times, is also as well. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think in considering Kim Jong-il's legacy, the question that occurs to me is, how did he keep his country from falling apart? I mean, to a certain extent, it's a mystery to me how North Korea didn't collapse under his rule.
Well, that is the question. You know, it was a matter of absolute certainty in the 90s that North Korea was on the verge of collapse. And, you know, it's been defying predictions of its demise for years. I guess you would say he ruled by fear and cult of personality. He was really the glue that kept this very improbable country together.
And when you say ruled by fear, he literally blackmailed other countries into doing as he pleased diplomatically, right?
That's right. With the Chinese, he was playing a game of, support us or else we might collapse and that will create instability. The same thing with the South Koreans. It was always, if we make a lot of noise and rattle your cage, the South Korean stock market will go down. He was quite a savvy player if you wanted to admire him just from a Machiavellian standpoint. Of course, his people were starving, but he played the diplomatic game very cleverly, at least cleverly, to keep himself in power.
And you've reported and written about the lives of North Koreans extensively. We're also joined by P.J. Crowley, former State Department spokesperson, current Omar Bradley Chair in Strategic Leadership at Penn State's Dickinson School of Law. So, P.J. Crowley, two of the axis of evil no longer with us anymore. How does this change sort of the geopolitical map?
Well, I obviously, and in a year where dictators have fallen, Kim Jong-il evidently died of natural causes. No small achievement under the circumstances. There is collective leadership in North Korea. Even under Kim Jong-il, the military played a very prominent role. So did some of the elders. And as we now make the transition from Kim Jong-il to Kim Jong-un, the young leader is going to get a lot of help as he makes this transition.
Barbara Demick, let me ask you, these photos that we've seen of North Koreans sobbing passionately, almost uncontrollably over the death of Kim Jong-il, are those sincere? Are we to take those honestly?
Well, you know, it's very funny. When I interviewed people for my book about the death of Kim Il-sung, many of them told me about how they faked it. You know, they said they were, rubbing their eyes and beating their breasts and tearing their clothes because they knew that was what you were supposed to do, and it was the public hysteria. I'm sure some are sincere. I think some are acting, and I think some are just overwhelmed with the idea of, okay, he's dead, and what's next? I mean, grieving for themselves, frankly.
That's Barbara Demick, author of Nothing to Envy, Ordinary Lives in North Korea, and the Beijing bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. And also with us, P.J. Crowley, former State Department spokesman, and now at the strategic leadership at the Penn State's Dickinson School of Law. So, P.J., at this point, perhaps the two countries most concerned about what may happen next are both South Korea and China at this point. Which government should be the most worried?
Well, South Korea should be the most worried because if there's a provocation so that the new leader or the reformed regime, wants to prove itself, they might, fall to another one of these kind of provocations. In the last couple of years, they've shelled South Korea. They've sunk a South Korean ship. So South Korea, first and foremost, should continue to be worried because they are under threat from North Korea. China's concerns are different. They prop up the North Korean regime so as not to have an implosion that would move significant refugee flows across the Chinese border and or lead to a unification with South Korea that works to China's strategic disadvantage. So they're both concerned, but for very different reasons.
Well, let's take a listen again to this announcement from the Korean news anchor from State TV in North Korea announcing Kim Jong-il's death.
위대한 용도자 김정일 동지께서 주체 100 2011년 12월 17일
Obviously, someone who she can barely speak for her crying. So, Barbara Demick, what do we know about the state of things in North Korea that could handle this kind of uncertainty? For many countries, these periods of transition can be devastating. And as far as we know, North Korea is already fragile.
That's right. I would expect that you won't see that much of Kim Jong-un, the successor, for a while. After Kim Il-sung died, Kim Jong-il really didn't take a public role for 3 years. It was kind of a mourning period or a seclusion. And I think they're going to kind of, hunker down and try to keep themselves afloat. I think there won't be much in the way of diplomatic activity. Kim Jong-un is clearly not ready to go. So, I guess he's going to be taking some more crash courses in leadership.
And we'll have to see whether or not there are rumors that they may appoint a military regent. So, PJ Crowley, what are we to make of the short-range missile test coming from North Korea this morning? Is that a sort of chest-beating, saber-rattling that could escalate?
That's exactly right. They'll want to signal that there's no fundamental change or there's no weakness in the regime during this transition. So it's a lot of chest beating. Exactly right.
Which makes the world nervous. It obviously makes the Asian markets nervous. They've been down all morning long. That's PJ Crowley, former State Department spokesman and current Omar Bradley Chair in Strategic Leadership at Penn State's Dickinson School of Law. Barbara Demick, do we know, is this good news or bad news, the death of Kim Jong-il, for the stability of the world?
For stability, what is it? They say you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. I mean, it may be good news in the long term. In the short term, could be a little bit bumpy.
That sounds like a definite maybe from Barbara Demick, author of Nothing to Envy, Ordinary Lives in North Korea. She's also the Beijing bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.